Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Tonight, the Gaia Theory, which proposes that the planet Earth is a holistic, self-regulating entity. The word Gaia is derived from the ancient Greek goddess who personified the Earth. Dr. Douglas will discuss the spiritual connection that humans have with the planet. Now, here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, welcome to the show, everyone. It's a pleasure to have you back here tonight. Here we are. You know, this is being broadcast worldwide. It is July the 14th. Already, the year is half gone. And we're having amazing events in the world, from Canada being on fire in the north, and the smoke and the smell of the fire being felt as far away as Europe. And into Spain, our friends have reported us that they can smell the smoke, and they're even having breathing difficulties because of the excess smoke in the atmosphere. Other people are complaining about the volcanic ash that's in the air. And most importantly, there's flooding all over the place. In every country in the world, there seems to be this pulling and pushing, and this tug of war with the environment and ourselves. Is this just by chance? Is this just the cycles of 3,000 years and the ice caps, the polar caps, if you will, are melting because it's due? It's 3,000 years ago this happened. I've heard theories from people who are not informed regurgitating these sayings or these dismissing these aspects in the world as coincidence, as cycles, as something else. Just last week, historically, the planet was the hottest it has ever been in 100,000 years or longer. I mean, I wasn't around then, and I don't think most of us that were here on the Earth could even think that far back. But the records in whatever sources they had, as well as the record keeping in Europe and other places in the Orient, this is the hottest it's ever been. I predicted this back in the middle 80s. I was on some radio shows in Toronto, and I had a vision that the core of the Earth was spinning at a different speed than the crust, and that the oceans, because of the friction of this molten mass, this magma we have in the Earth. By the way, did you know it's the same temperature as the sun? It is 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit, I believe. It's the same temperature as the surface of the sun. So this dream or vision I had demonstrated that the Earth's core was heating up, and it was causing the oceans, well, I shouldn't say it was heating up, it was transferring the heat into the oceans, which, of course, lie in the crust of the Earth, but again, they're very deep and closest to the magma than anything else. Of course, the mountains are at the other extreme, right? So as you look at this idea that the Earth's core is heating up and transferring this heat into the oceans, and the oceans are heating up, I had predicted that it was going to be not one, not two, which is extremely catastrophe for the planet, but 3 and even 4 degrees Celsius. Well, here we are on the verge of approaching 3 degrees Celsius, maybe even 4, in the oceans all around the world. So this is scary stuff. We're all worried about economic situations. The political climate in the world seems to be chaotic. The banking system has been erratic and chaotic for the last 10 or 20 years, including most recently when all the small banks were going under because the interest rates had gone up so fast that they were caught off guard with their long-term deposits or their, let's say, financial commitments to the investors. And the big banks came in and swooped them all up. That was a major catastrophe averted for whatever reasons. I don't know. I'm not a banker. I'm not a financial wizard. But for whatever reasons, the banking community worldwide was in difficulty. However, we've gotten by those days, and here we are, you know, worried about the hot temperatures, whether it's raining in one place or flooding in another, or if something's on fire. But we've gone by these events in our lives that are somewhat potentially catastrophic. The political climate in the world is uncertain, and certainly when you see the exchange of governments and the government heads, you know, flip-flopping, if I can say that, and the economic situation being we're starting to polarize and we are jeopardizing our society. The war in the Ukraine and Russia, now the threat of nuclear weapons, very real, and yet we don't talk about it every day, but we did just when the war broke out there, just what it was a year or so ago. So what kind of world do we live in? For people who are younger, it's, situation normal. Lots of stuff going by on the internet. Social media is full of all kinds of crazy stuff. Things go viral on the internet. That means that somebody starts something and then everybody wants to know about it, good, bad, or ugly. Our world is unfortunately being instantaneous, instant gratification, instant judgment, and instant penalty or violence. Now, love is in there somewhere, and love is kind of like the lid that's holding down, you know, the boiling pot, whatever's inside. We have the lid on the pot, and that's the love that you and I and our friends around the world who share this idea that there should be more compassion and love in the world. We're holding things together. The question is, can we maintain it? Can we hold it? So where did this come from, this idea that, you know, everything's in chaos and that the planet seems to be responding to the way we treat each other? Well, I'm going to take my little pat on the back. I wrote the book prior to 2011. It was called 2012 and Beyond, and then I updated it and incorporated it into a newer, bigger volume called The New Earth. They are available on my website, douglasjamescottrell.com. Please buy one. Looking at this, understanding the situation in those books and in my teachings, that I have said that there is a similarity. We are succinct with one another. There is a connection between we, the people, the humans on the planet, and the planet itself. We've heard as above, as below. We've heard what happens in heaven happens on the earth. We can repeat those sayings by heart. But in 1966, James Lovelock, a British scientist, and Lynn Margulis, an American evolutionary theorist, came up with a theory. And the theory they named was the Gaia hypothesis or Gaia principle. Okay, it's been out there since 1960. And what they came up with, by the way, the name Gaia comes from the ancient Greek goddess who personified the earth. The core idea of the Gaia theory is that the earth functions as a single self-regulating system akin to a living organism. This system encompasses the biosphere, life, atmosphere, air, hydrosphere, water, and lithosphere, earth, and work to maintain a stable and favorable environment for life. In essence, the theory proposes that the earth is a living organism, and its physical components are not separate entities, but interdependent and working together as a complex, interconnected network. Well, you know, when we talk about nature and the balance of nature and how everything is in order in the cosmos, what we're referring to is basically this Gaia theory, that the earth is a self-regulating, self-balancing, self-generating mechanism that maintains order. There's nothing wrong with the world. It's in order. We know it's a very violent place. We have volcanoes going off all the time. Right now, somewhere in the world, there are lightning storms taking place, and the planet is being pummeled with gigantic bolts of lightning. They are right now happening. We know that there's earthquakes going off. I think there's something, I don't know, let's just take a guess, maybe 200 volcanoes going off right now around the world. Somebody can do a Google search and find that out for sure, because there are websites that track such things as volcanic eruptions and earthquakes. And somewhere in the world, there are earthquakes taking place. Little ones, big ones, but they are taking place right this second. But the world is in balance, but not as much as it used to be. The ice caps are melting. The oceans are heating up, as I said previously. So what is it that's going on in the world? Is all of a sudden the world gone berserk and it's now out of balance? Or is there something more to this Gaia theory that would regulate or sort of delineate what is going on in the world and with us? Remember, in the good book says we have dominance over the world. In a more practical understanding, the theory implies that any significant change in one area of this system on the world can affect the entire system. For instance, deforestation can affect the levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which can lead to climate change, impacting not just local but global ecosystems. Well, that makes sense. You know, deforestation, that leads to all kinds of earth erosion. It leads to, as I've just said, other effects with carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Trees and plants are the lungs of the planet, as I think the Amazon is called, the lungs of the planet, because it absorbs the carbon dioxide and it allows us to have oxygen back. What an amazing place we live at. Okay, continuing. Moreover, the Gaia theory puts forth that life significantly shapes the environment for its own purposes. An example of this is how easily photosynthesizing organisms change the Earth's atmosphere by producing oxygen, which was initially a poisonous gas to most life forms, but eventually led to the evolution, here we go, evolution, of oxygen-breathing organisms, including us. So there's this balance that over the time, the world adjusts, and we have this evolutionary aspect, and the changes that happen are permanent. So where are we today? What is going on with the system? What is this? The implications of this theory for our understanding of Earth and our place within it are profound. One, interconnectivity. We are an integral part of the Earth system, not separate from it. Our actions as humans directly impact the Earth, and changes in the Earth directly impact us. Have you thought about that way, my friends? You know, we talk about global warming, we talk about the flooding, and we talk about the landfill sites, we talk about mining. We've been sucking the oil and the crude oil out of the planet in all kinds of places, from the Middle East to Texas to the North Sea. What are the consequences of taking all that, those oceans of oil out of and from beneath the surface of the Earth's crust. What's going to happen? Well, first of all, there's going to be this big void, these big caverns there. I once was talking about this in Toronto at a conference, and someone put forward the idea or mentioned that the oceans of oil that when they're taking out, seawater is pumped back in to fill up the caverns so that the crust doesn't collapse. That was a shocker. Wow, that was an eye-opener for me. But you see how we're acting? We are not in harmony with the planet. We are doing things to the planet, and then we're trying to fix it. And, you know, it's one change leads to another change leads to another change. But the idea that our actions directly impact the Earth and changes in the Earth directly impact us. Wake up, people. This is what's going on right now. The ice caps are melting. Why? Because things we have done. However, responsibility is the next step. If our actions have a global effect, we have a deep responsibility to live in harmony with the planet, recognizing our impact on global systems. You know, we look back in history and in antiquity, we find the native peoples in the various places in the world, from Australia to North America to wherever, people in those old times lived in harmony. They worshiped nature, and as much as they appreciated it, but they didn't, when they needed a birch bark canoe in North America, they didn't chop the tree down and take the bark off it. Instead, they took a strip about 8 or 10 or 12 or 14 inches all the way from the bottom to the top of the tree, a strip of birch bark. They left the rest of the bark on the tree, and the tree survived. And they used, of course, the bark to make their canoe. Of course, there were many trees, so they could do this to get many pieces of birch bark for their canoes, and everybody was in harmony. They didn't cut the tree down. And that's how I think in nature back in the day, we were treating nature. We were cooperating with it. We appreciated it, and we always respected it. Agriculture is supposed to be one of the greatest harms that's ever come to the planet. That is the plowing in or under of all the plants in a field, putting in fertilizer and growing a single crop. And regrowing and regrowing a single crop depletes the land. And if you do it too much, the nutrients in the land itself make the land go barren. I know that by talking to farmers back in the day when I had my ranch in the country, and I didn't know that there was a rotation plant. Benjamin Franklin had come up with that, where every 7 years you would let the farmland go idle and you would let it rest. But every of those other years, 6 years, you would plant different crops, which took different nutrients out of the field, but allowed other ones to build up. Harmony with the planet. Number three, receptacity. Life has shaped and continues to shape the earth just as the earth shapes life. This reciprocal relationship implies taking care of the earth is the same as taking care of ourselves. Makes sense to me. Do we take care of the planet? Have you planted trees? Do you have a nice garden in your backyard? Do you take care of the bees, having flowers and blossoms for them? I think it was It was a wise man, whose names will come back in a second, who said, as go the conditions of the bees, so goes the condition of the world as humans, because bees cross-pollinate all the plants, and our food is grown from this action of the bees. Did you know that? Did you think about that? Well, it was a surprise to me, too. Overall, you know, this idea, it comes down to sustainability. Living in alignment with the Gaia theory means seeking substantial ways of living that maintain the balance and harmony of our global ecosystem. What are your thoughts on this tonight, my friends? The number to call is 718-766-4421. Again, 718-766-4421. I'm putting forward the idea, the notion tonight, as I have in my my book, The New Earth, that the emphasis should be that the direct result of human interaction aligns with my previous teachings about the interconnectedness of all life. My theory, my words, my thoughts underscore how thoughts, attitudes, and behaviors impact not only ourselves, but also the world around us. In my book, The New Earth, the earth itself is responsive to the ways humans treat each other, as well as the environment, which bears strong resemblance to the Gaia theory's perspective of Earth as a holistic, self-regulating entity. That means that if we're a problem for the Earth, like any other problem, the Earth tends to weed out the problem and seek its natural balance. It comes back into harmony. And here we are, nuclear weapons, warfare, bombs being tested in North Korea, rockets being blasted off in North Korea, underwater explosions. Oh my God. What do you think? The number to call is 718-766-4421. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. And we'll go to the phones with a little more on this amazing Gaia theory that was published by scientists back in 1960. And it says, I could say, important to reiterate and talk about it today as it was revolutionary back in 1960. We'll be right back.
For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at The New Age Health Guide. On sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com.
Getting beaten up in life? Reading Conversations with the Akashic Field by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell coaches you through methods of battling fear and self-doubt to gain the spiritual strength you need for defense and stamina. Tapping into an ever-present source to help you win today. Visit DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon today for Conversations with the Akashic Field.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
You're listening to The Global Village on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Now, back to you and your phone calls with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And welcome back, my friends. Again, we're talking about the Gaia theory, which was put together by two scientists, British scientist, Dr. James Lovelock, and a and an American evolutionary theorist, Lynn Margulis, I believe that's how you say that. And they, in 1960, came up with this theory they called the Gaia theory. And the word Gaia comes from the ancient Greek goddess who personified the Earth. Tonight's show is about the notion that the Earth is a living being and that humans influence the Earth. We have a symbiotic experience with the Earth, and we always have. Have you ever noticed that when there's anger and fighting and again, nation against nation, that there's a volcanic eruption someplace? The Ayatollah, when Jimmy Carter was president, had captured the American embassy personnel, and there was a huge anger for 444 days. There was this hostage-taking event. And at the end of that time, or near the end of it, Mount St. Helens blew its top in Washington State, of all places, as Washington and Jim and President Carter were in great difficulty. And it seemed to be the Ayatollah and the terrorist niece were mocking America. If you look at other places, Syria and Turkey, where there have been great controversies, there was this in a moment earthquake that killed 40,000 people in a minute. This is how rapidly and how powerfully the symbiotic experience is taking place and manifesting. I once said that, as we know, everybody has energy that radiates around their body, and the intuitive people call this an aura or fields of energy, and people can see that. There's also these the organs in the body called spinning wheels, or sometimes they, in the good book, they're called the seven churches of the temple, which is, of course, relating to the spinning wheels or the solar plexus and the thyroid and, you know, these different chakra points in the body. Loosely translated, I guess. But these points, they radiate this energy around the body. I once said, looking up at the aurora borealis, that the Earth has an aura. I think it was my daughter who first came up with that, that the Earth has an aura. And that aura fluctuates and changes color and shape, just like the human aura does as well. So what if we are plugged in, that our thoughts telepathically are spread out not only to each other, that is to say nation, race mind, you know, human mind to human mind, but what else if there is this connection with the planet in a very similar way? It is sort of a focus point for our thoughts, our actions, and how we treat each other. I kind of go in that, I'm going in that direction because my book, The New Earth, puts forward some of these ideas, which was written in 2011. It is a really good book. It talks about these things, as well as what's going to happen in the world. As you know, on this show and others, I've been predicting things pretty accurately, foretelling what's going to happen. So the New Earth book is a good one to get as a reference book. There are about, I don't know, 85 prophecies in that book that have come true so far, and there's many more there. So pick it up for yourself to have a look at it. But the point being is that this idea, this notion that, as the scientists back in 1960 came forth with this idea, that the Gaia theory is that the planet itself has a connection with humans, and humans affect the planet way more than we suspect we do. When we blast a big hole in the Earth with a bomb, that bomb goes right through the Earth, the vibration, and affects the opposite side of the planet. There are devastating occurrences and results from what we do with bombs, but also with how we take care of each other or don't take care of each other. If you remember, a few years ago, it was people were leaving Africa. They were migrating into Europe. They were certainly migrating from the Middle America into Mexico and higher up into the U.S. And there became this crisis all over the planet when COVID was happening and situations were so bad with the terrorists, the blockades, the economic structure problems, the port of entry problems with goods. All these things were happening and people were migrating. At first, the immigrants were welcomed into various countries. Then up went the fences, the barbed wire, and the people were denied. They came across in boats across the Mediterranean and other places, and many of them lost their lives for what would appear to be just trying to find a better place to live, to survive with their families, because their homeland or their countries was full of civil strife, disease, and whatnot. Maybe that was a test for humankind. I believe it was. Wake up. If we don't know how to take care of each other, then the planet is going to, in a subconscious way, not take care of us. And that might be what's going on now. We might be feeling the effects of indifference, of hatred, of looking the other way while people are suffering, especially little children. And with the COVID affecting the world, as you know, that wasn't too long ago, but we don't talk about it anymore. It's almost like it didn't happen. Have you noticed people don't bring that up anymore? But the effects of that are still lingering. I'm just reminding us of things. I'm not trying to complain too much here about what people do or do not remember. My point is this. There is this connection. Is it telepathic? Is it something else? Are we spiritually connected to the world? I believe we are. What do you think? The number to call is 718-766-4421. My co-host Doug Bentley is standing by, and we had a brief discussion before the show, as well as the show being produced by our good friend Paul Hughes. And we've talked a little bit about this in the past in different episodes. Different times, different places at our Hope Conferences. By the way, that's at hopeconference.org if you want to find out more about when the Hope Conferences are coming to a place near you. The point being is, what are you going to do about it? Are you sitting back saying, what can I do about it? I'm only one person. Well, God always starts with one person. You know, one seed goes into the ground and a plant comes out and the plant bears fruit multiple times more. But that one seed had to start the process, so to speak. Are you feeling able and capable about that? Or do you feel like, well, there's nothing I can do? What can I possibly do about that? Well, let's discuss it tonight. 718-766-4421. Welcome to the show, Doug. I know you've been listening in, and as you've gone through life and you've seen these different things that we've been speaking of, you know, the point that the Gaia theory puts forth is that life significantly shapes the environment for our own purpose, I guess. And an example of this is how things that I've just delineated have occurred. There seems to be an interaction. Do you agree?
I agree wholeheartedly with that. We are physical, emotional, and mental beings. I won't say spiritual, but we are on this planet, and our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions, I believe, definitely have an effect on the Earth. My father was in the Second World War, and he knew nothing of this, but he commented on, he believed that was true, because in the Second World War, there was, in Europe, there were severe, unusually severe winters during the Second World War, and he attributed it to the war, and I believe that that's true. Not just the physical, but the emotional, mental turmoil that people were going through. And just to make a comment on what you said before, I believe there have been studies done where nuclear testing took place in one part of the world, and diametrically on the opposite side of the world, there was some sort of earthquake or volcano or some sort of or tsunami that took place diametrically on the opposite side of the Earth. So that supports what you said about the effects going right the way through the Earth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I would take it one step further. There's a philosopher, I mean, he's pilloried by many hard-nosed scientists, but his name is Rupert Sheldrake, and he has made a very interesting and rather convincing argument that the entire cosmos is living. And I actually believe that that's true. If the Earth is a living being, then natural extension is that the entire cosmos is, in one sense, a living being. And that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, the concept that there's a spiritual awakening taking place, and this relates to the changes in the Earth that we are currently experiencing. You know, it takes a little pain to wake us up. And the spiritual awakening is basically how to be compassionate. You don't need to be a prophetic person seeing visions and prophecies and doing all of the spiritual things that are acknowledged to be spiritual gifts. That's more of an individual activity, responsibility, a talent, if you will, that you can apply for the welfare and good of all from this divine influence. But the idea that spirituality is simply practicing the golden rule. You know, don't do anything to anyone else that you wouldn't want happen to yourself. Always be, you know, forgiving, patient, tolerant, and put yourself in the other person's shoes first before you judge them. And then you can come to some point of compassion or understanding. When I was younger, I used to really detest people coming towards me with their high beams on as I would drive down the highway. I mean, it wasn't sort of out of my way bad. It was just like, you know, I blink my lights, I flick my lights up and down at them as they would get close to let them know that their high beams was on. Well, the proper way to deal with that, if you're driving a vehicle and somebody's approaching with their high beams on, it's a little hard to see. You look down to the right and you see the side of the road, which is easier to look at because you're not looking straight forward into the headlights of the oncoming traffic. And so it's not a big deal. It doesn't hurt. But if you're angry and you start looking straight forward and you're flicking your lights, you're looking directly into the lights of the oncoming car, which can put you in jeopardy because you can wander over the line. Okay, so I figured that out on a practical level, that if somebody did that and they didn't stop with their high beams coming at me, I just looked down at the road. It didn't bother me, and the car was by me in a moment, went past in the opposite direction, and then I proceeded to go along the road as normal. Well, as I got older, I began to recognize that I couldn't see so well at night, that I didn't have that sharp vision that I had when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s, that I needed a little extra light. So when I would go down roads, then there was no light, I would turn on my high beams. Naturally, that's what you're supposed to do, to see more light on a dark road. But then it occurred to me that the reason people were doing that was that they had difficulty seeing, and they were using their high beams, even though I was approaching them, they were using their high beams to see. And so I relented after all those years, and even now when somebody's got their high beams on coming towards me, I say, well, they probably can't see so well. Maybe they have a little bit of cataract problem. Maybe they have a little eye distortion. Maybe they have something. And I don't even miss a beat of thinking about how they should be turning their lights off, or they should see oncoming traffic. They should dim their high beams. Doesn't enter my mind. What I'm saying is that my opinion and my values have changed by the experiences I've had in life. And it's easy to do those things, look away from the light, so to speak, when people are doing something for a reason that you may not know, but for something that you can avoid any kind of adversity or complaint or being negative towards them. So that, my friends, is how you look for a solution and you avoid somebody's behavior. People in difficulties, people when they're panicking, people who are scared, react differently. They're not thinking, and it's almost counterproductive the way they think. They'll do the exact wrong thing. And so giving somebody the, if you will, the space that they might be panicking, they might be preoccupied, they might be distracted, and keeping your own business to yourself, you know, avoid the situation, take control of it, be in control, be in the moment, you can avoid any kind of mishap or prejudging or causing this situation to exasperate and difficulty to occur. Now, is that anywhere near what we're talking about as way that this Gaia theory is talking about? Yes, it is. It's the essence of the theory. You know, we offer practical tips on how to cultivate your own spiritual awareness and connectivity to the earth. This is how you do it, including mindfulness and mindfulness exercises, spending time in nature, walking on the ground. That's a new theory or a new practice. People are calling it grounding, where you go out and you actually walk on the ground with your bare feet or socking feet. You don't walk in it with shoes or, shall we say, non-organic material. And you are grounded to the earth. Another way or evidence that we are, you know, connected to the earth in that regard. So as we go through these ideas, we are connected spiritually. What are you going to do about it? And how can you change your life one little teeny tiny bit at a time? So let's hear what everybody else has to say, Doug, as we go through this time. Paul, we have some people on the line. Let's go to the phones.
Yes, Douglas, we've got Carol in Chicago lined up as our first caller. Hello, Carol.
Hello. I was just thinking about their questions because they have religions that worship the earth, like I think pantheism, Taoism, I think, too, and Hinduism as well. And then the shamans, they worship, you know, nature and the earth. So one of the things I normally do is when I say a prayer, I include nature as well. So that's one of the ways that I do it. And we're all connected.
Are you a shaman now, Carol?
I'm studying to be one.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. That's a very good question, too. Because you're right. Every time people start acting up, you get this weather going wild. You all right, Dr. Cottrell?
I am. I'm just having a little drink here. Yes, I agree.
Water, not alcohol.
Of course not. Alcohol, and you start ending up with a show that goes who knows where. But alcohol is found in nature. It's not a bad thing, my friends. It's the excess that people take of it, just like anything else, like chocolate and peanuts and stuff like that. But anyway, back to the shamanistic. That was a good point, Carol. There are various religions that work with nature. And I think even the Christian relationship and practical spirituality and practical Christianity, there's a reverence, you know, for the planet. And there's this connectivity between our spiritual understanding and how we relate to one another and how we interact with the spiritual forces around us. And again, saying grace over a meal is in fact giving thanks to the earth's productivity. You know, everything comes from the earth that sustains us, and we should be grateful for what comes from the earth. You know, the farmers plant the seeds, but God gives the gain. But all of that comes from the earth. And how many of us sit there and say, wow, thank you, earth, I am grateful? Or do we usually complain, it's raining outside, we can't go out for the picnic, or it's too hot, we can't go down to the beach, or, you know, do we complain, or do we, I'm asking rhetorically, of course, Or do we say, wow, it's raining. Those farmers and those gardeners are going to, those plants are going to need this rain. This is fantastic. And of course, we're in harmony with nature. If we practice this understanding that we are part of, part of nature, but remember, we're kind of like, on the earth. We're not in the earth. You know, we walk around the earth. We're on it. We're not in it. And I think that that's a good starting place for us to begin to see. We are, hitching a ride to this planet that's spinning 24,000 miles an hour, or 1,000 miles an hour, rather, and going 24,000 miles in it, and as it turns around in its orbit. And we're not flung off. We don't get, sent out into outer space. Thank God. Thank the planet. But the point being is that, I guess, more nature... spirituality always comes back to praising and being grateful to the earth, as Carol said. Doug, what do you think?
That is certainly true. We're completely dependent upon the earth, and it's a blessing that in this time of many earth changes, we're beginning to recognize how important the earth is, and hopefully sooner rather than later we will see greater husbandry of the earth, so to speak.
Well, another thing I was thinking about too is Gaia
offers some of the largest online resources of consciousness and enlightening films. So that's another way to help the earth, go around. And then you have a professor. I wrote it down. Her name, she's from MIT. Her name is Tara Swart, Watt, S-W-A-R-T. She has a PhD. And she shares her research in the field of neuroscience explaining how spiritual practices are being proven scientifically effective. For example, some positive thoughts, vision boards, breath work, and meditation can have a profound effect in creating your own reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that spiritual practices definitely change the mindset of people. When you find yourself asking those questions, what is my purpose? Where did I come from? Where am I going to go after I pass away? Is there a God? Can my life be made better? Is there something more to the world than lust, greed, gluttony, and the pleasures of the flesh or the acquisition of assets? What is there? So as you get past the idea of the physical acquisition of things, there's always that question of spirituality. And I think that's why we're here, is to develop a spiritual understanding. And part of that goes back to understanding the world we live in is our Mother Earth. It's the provider of all things. And as we begin to respect the earth, then we wouldn't be blowing it up. We wouldn't be mining it, digging down, getting that asbestos and aluminum out of the planet. And we wouldn't be draining the copper reserves out, and certainly all the gold and the other precious metals and gems. There was, I believe it was the Hopi Indians had been predicting and had been voicing their discontent that we're taking out the gold out of the planet, and the gold is like the nervous system, as I understood that when the speaker was talking about that, recounting about the Hopi Indians or some other Aboriginal tribe, that we were taking the gold out and we were affecting the nerves of the planet, the nervous system, and we were causing great upheavals. As I said earlier in the program, we've been pumping oils out of the crude oil, thousands of barrels per day since when? since the 1800s, the first, you know, when I'm not sure when oil was discovered or when oil was taken out of the ground, but it had to be pretty close. Maybe Paul or Doug can check that out on Google. It had to be pretty close to 1800. Maybe it was before that. I don't know. But the point being is, as we continue to, what's the word, cannibalize our planet, you know, something's got to give. And I think we're at that point right now, that these things that our fathers and grandfathers have done, from wars to bombs to mining to agricultural disasters to overpopulation, meaning building buildings and skyscrapers and things like that. I'm not talking about the cessation of life. I'm just talking about the way we live with these dwellings and buildings and things like that. My God, there must be such an imbalance on the planet. But anyway, Carol, getting back to your point, yes, there are people out there now who are talking about spiritual development. I certainly do the same, and we've been doing this for years and years. The point is, what are you, the people in the audience, doing about this? You can have a positive effect. All it needs is a few people to want to change the planet just a teeny tiny bit. You know, Mahatma Gandhi changed the changed the politics with a handful of salt, and in a way of fasting, nonviolent way, basically changed the destiny of India. The British left eventually. It was passive resistance, nonviolent resistance, and change occurred with a handful of salt. He did that. And now, what does that teach us? Well, a lot of people come into the world. One person stands up and says, this is wrong. There is naturally the expected punishment that comes with it. But after a while, that one person, and then that consciousness of changing into a benevolent, more comfortable, more compassionate way spreads, a community goes out across the world, and next thing you know, in a few generations, the entire world has changed. But it started with one person. Go back in history, and wherever you go, you'll find there's always one person. There is never a group, there's never an army, there's never a nation that changes the world. They conquer each other, they have combat with each other, but it's always an individual that changes the way the world ultimately becomes in a more positive, spiritual, enlightened way. Who's coming along now, I wonder? You know, is the second coming of Yeshua the Savior, Jesus the Christ, going to be soon? All the prophecies of her are now taking place, including that of the Euphrates River drying up. This is the beginning of the sign of the four horsemen coming. We're looking at biblical prophecies coming true. Anyway, to get back to this, yes, this is a connected situation, I think, and as I believe you're saying, Carol, you know, there are religious orders and people now, and they have been for a long time, that are practicing, let's say, prayers to the planet, from saying grace over a meal to offering thanks during Thanksgiving and other places to the abundance of the world. But I think maybe we need to do a little more. What do you think?
Yeah, one of the ways, too, I can't think of her name right now, but she wrote a book, and the Roman Catholic Church, she was talking about, they made the monks bury the books that were talking about Jesus, and she discovered in those books that they dug up, they said that Jesus did not die for your sins, and he does not want you to follow him. He wants you to be like him, because he was the last prophet of the Jews, and he wanted people to be like him, because he studied in other countries. He was a mystic, and he wanted other people to become that way as well. So the more you learn about who you are and what your purpose is in life, and that you are the creator of your life, I think the world will get much better than waiting for somebody to save you or waiting for somebody to lead you, and that comes from within.
Well, it's a spiritual journey, and it's been going on forever, and I think the salvation of our planet and our civilization comes down to us spreading the word of the teachings of compassion. And if we continue to do that, we'll find a way. God is not invisible. God's not unobtainable. God is not deaf. God is not dumb. God is there every minute of every day right now. The idea that there is an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful being who created everything is, to some people, absolute. There's no doubt. And to others, there's just no way it could happen. And so to one group of people, there's no question, and you don't need to explain it. And to the other group of people, any explanation will just fall on deaf ears. But here we are with scientists in the 1960s. That was a long time ago, you know, 60 years ago or more, when James Lovelock and Lynn Margulis came up with this Gaia theory and put it forward. And it's still out there today. It's still relevant because it's the truth. And the thing about the truth is it never goes away. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back in a few minutes. Please stay on the line, Carol. We'll be right back after a short break.
The Douglas James Cockrell website is where you can learn much more about this amazing man and his journey through a lifetime of spiritual prophecy. The book Secrets of Life answers questions everyone has about the physical versus the spiritual world, why you are here in the world right now, karma, psychic abilities, reincarnation, prayer, and much more about universal laws. This book is essential for those who really desire to follow the path of the divine to soul perfection. Douglas has been chosen to provide you with a keen insight into the purpose of life's journey. Best-selling author Robert Appel says, "The least you can expect from Dr. Cottrell's work is that it will change your life." Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop for Secrets of Life and all of his books and learning materials. Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And we're back. Welcome, everyone. We're having a lively conversation tonight about the Gaia theory. The word Gaia comes from the ancient Greek goddess who personified the Earth. And two scientists back in the 1960s put forward this theory that the Earth was affected by us, and it has its own living organism as the physical components of the Earth are not separate, but are holistic, self-regulatory entities unto themselves or segments. And we're talking tonight about these various understandings that the human-Earth interactions, you know, this concept highlights that our physical, emotional, and spiritual actions can directly or indirectly affect the natural environment, which is what Carol was talking about, some of the religion, especially shaman religion, and the aboriginals in Australia and other places, and Africa. There is a connection. North American Indians are connected. When I say North American, Aboriginal people are connected and their tribal customs, and that which I'm a student and I find remarkably amazing that they have this connectivity with the earth. Things are sacred. The animals, the nature and the function in natures, these are with the tribal councils and consciousness and spirituality of those people who were here a long, long time ago as the North American Indians, or if I can put it that way, Aboriginals, I want to call them. The excessive problem with our life is that there's excessive consumption and waste, and that's driven by a lack of regard for the environment or our fellow human beings, and contribute to the environment and deregulation and degraduation, or degradation, I guess I should say. And again, the North American tribes were in harmony with nature. They weren't all, like it wasn't euphoric. There were tribal conflicts and battles and wars just like every place else in the world. But the main concept was that there was a respect for nature. And so this is what, in some sort of reciprocal way, the belief in a mutual exchange and influence between humans and the earth, it underscores that much of the way we shape the earth is through our actions. The earth in turn shapes us and our societies. For example, a community that disrespects the earth might experience adverse reactions, as we discussed earlier tonight, in the form of natural disasters or resource depletion, starvation and famine. On the other hand, a society that respects and cares for the earth may find the earth provides abundantly for their needs, bumper crops, good weather, good growing season, things like that. So it comes down to responsibility and conscious living. This emphasizes that every human being carries a certain responsibility for the state of the world. Our daily choices, from what we eat and buy and how we react with others, all have wider implications. Wake up. Conscious living is about making these choices mindfully, with an awareness of their impact on other people, other species, and the planet as a whole. Look what we're doing to the oceans and the pollution in the oceans. Look what we're doing to the land masses in the Amazon, cutting down the trees so that they can feed cattle, and chasing the people that live there, the Aboriginal people, the original people there, further and further into the jungle. It's just, we have to understand this concept of interconnectedness is central to many spiritual teachings and environmental philosophies. All things are connected, and that nothing exists in isolation. Our actions, seemingly small ones, can have far-reaching effects. We should all pay attention to that. Understanding this can foster a deep respect for all life and for the earth itself. This suggests that through conscious effort, personal growth, social change, we can heal the damage done to the earth and ourselves. And we better get to it, because we're running out of time. This transformation of actions, attitudes, and systems has to start right now to remedy the environmental issues we face and create in this way to affect a more harmonious world. This might involve personal changes, of course, like adopting a new sustainable lifestyle, as well as broader social shifts towards renewable energy and sustainable agriculture and more equitable economic systems. But those are just some points that we made earlier. And as Carol has brought up, there are people in the organizations in the world, even now, that are independent of each other, working to come to the same ends. You were going to say, Carol, before the break.
Yeah, I'm just, when more and more people find out that, like I was going back to Jesus Christ, and you were talking about how one person can change the world. Margaret Mead, she often said, never believe that a few caring people can't change the world. And you can, because once you find out what your connection is in this world, you will do a lot better deeds. For example, I was getting back to Jesus, and I didn't want to make light of him because Jesus, you know, he said that, you can do what I do. He was one of the enlightened people like Buddha and, you know, Jesus, they were enlightened. And they were just showing you that path to make your life better. That's what they did. And if once you find out that you are the creator, the architecture of your life, you'll flow right into enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting comments, Carol. Thank you very much for being on the show tonight. You're always a pleasure to have you on, sharing your wisdom and your points of view. Well done. Thank you very much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Paul, when we talked earlier, you had some points that you were making about this Gaia concept, but also you were talking about you have a new project going. What can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's kind of a transition, Douglas, from corporate and wedding and event photography into landscape photography. For a number of years, I've been jetting around the country, going to conventions and being hired for their photography for large conventions. And while I was at the different locations, occasionally I would go out and take pictures of landmarks or state parks or interesting landscapes. And I've collected them over the years and really haven't done anything with them. And so now I've just discovered it's time to work on those and start putting them, making them available for sale. So I'm furiously editing a lot of photos from Wyoming and out west, New Mexico, California, and Arizona, which is just a fabulous state. So that's what I'm. That's my latest project. I'm always working on projects, and this is the latest and greatest. So thanks for mentioning.
Oh, you're welcome. And so this is soon to be available to the public. Our listeners can find out when you're ready. Can find out where they can find out some of these amazing photographs that you have.
Well, thank you in advance.
Okay. Well, so it's in the works.
If you think they're amazing. But you probably can see some of them already.
I have. You showed me some. The ones from Arizona were just drop-dead gorgeous. And
well,
I
thank
thought, you. Who would thought that the world could be so overwhelmingly beautiful in deserts and mountains and ranges and especially, you know, Arizona being a very unique place. Mount Tasha in California. Yeah. And we have... these retreat places and, just amazing. I guess you found a lot of these important places. I'm just trying to reflect on where these places would be, you know, Sedona in Arizona, for instance,
yes.
And things like that. Wow.
Yes. So. I was just there, not long ago, after our Hope conference, I drove up to Sedona, my third or fourth trip. And, it's always too short. I always want to stay. I was thinking when God created the heavens and the earth, he spent a little extra time with brush strokes on the face of the earth. There are so many incredible areas around the globe that many of which still have not been really not been tapped, still lacking in photographs available. So, yes, I'll be selling them on the Internet and we'll have some more information on that down the road. It'll be some weeks before it's ready to go live. So thank you for the mention, Douglas.
Well, we look forward to that. I'm sure people would be able to buy these pictures and put them in picture frames and use them for covers on their books and all sorts of things that people use these pictures for. So, wow. Well, anyway, it's amazing. Well, you know, we had an interesting show tonight, Doug, with, We're talking about the Gaia theory, and you made some good points tonight. You know, as an overview, from the perspective of, you know, Europe and where it's going, and you know, there's been a lot of, you know, conflict and whatever. Is there any You mentioned your dad having this insight, which I thought was pretty profound. Is this a predominant sort of understanding about the Gaia theory, or this, you know, what in practical, you know, what would we call it, you know, very hard-nosed look at reality, that, you know, what goes on in Europe during warfares, whether it's freezing weather or there's catastrophes that your father has witnessed. Very profound, very wise man to see that. But is any other stories from that time that you can let us know before we go to the close of the show here?
No, I do not. But I am in full agreement that, you know, well, my personal belief is everything that we do, what we think, what we, particularly our emotions and our actions, have a profound effect on the earth and those people around us. And just think of, as I referred to, all of the wars that are taking place in the world. I've heard it said that there may be 100 places of conflict in the world at one time. I'm not, haven't counted, but that's a quote that I heard. And think of all the negative emotions and the pain and the suffering and the anger and that takes place, and it all affects the earth. And I think that what we're experiencing now is not just the depletion of natural resources, but the emotions that people and the wars that are going on in the world and the hate and the suffering. It all is accumulating in the earth. That's my belief, and it's coming out now.
Mm. Well, everything comes to you know, it's the darkest night before the dawn, and that's, I think, we're at this now. We're at this transitional point where we have an opportunity right now, not next week, next month, next year, but right now in this time to start to turn our planet around, our lives around, our politics around. And it starts with, you know, not hating and sort of just listening to the internet, the Twitter, the Instagram, the other social media, and stepping back and saying, is somebody trying to get me to do something? When I listen to this show, do I become angry? Can I hardly wait to get to listen to the next juicy bit of gossip? Am I enthralled with somebody being punished or hurt or taken advantage of? Am I siding with people who are people who have done bad things, they've been convicted of things, and they're deniers of the truth? Am I siding with those people that are bullies and those people who enjoy other people's suffering? It's out there. And you, my friends, have this ability, this chance, this opportunity to step back and say, whoa, just a minute. Whatever happened to QAnon? Whatever happened to these aspects of one political party taking little kiddies and trying to take their blood away and scaring them? Whatever happened to that? There was no evidence of it. There was no truth to it. It was just propaganda. It came and it went away, as we predicted on this show years ago. When COVID was here, people were panicking. It came and it went away. There was all kinds of hate for the researchers and the doctors and the people who were performing their duties, the nurses going to work. Many, many, many people died. And yet there were people that denied that it happened. It goes back to the Second World War, when there were concentration camps and people were being murdered and tortured. And we're talking all kinds of people, not just one particular religious group, but all kinds of people in Europe. And now, in this later days, there were people denying that that even happened. It was President Eisenhower, then General Eisenhower, who had photographers come in and take pictures of the terrible places, because he said, someday somebody's going to say this didn't happen. And he was absolutely right. So we have to be who we are, understanding that we're humans. We are capable as a race of doing terrible things. But not all of us, just some of us. And we cannot allow this to happen simply by not going along with it. And then to take a proactive way of doing something to help, whatever it is, little, small, big, bigger, or the most you can do. Follow your heart. Let your spiritual compass direct you on how you can be helpful. Be grateful for everything every day. And remember to say the magic words. When you say, I am, you're giving your subconscious a command. So you can say, I am able and capable to accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish. I am strong. I am healthy. I am healthier than I was yesterday. I am looking forward to being of service. I am looking forward to whatever it is that you're looking for, the vacation, the trip. I am strong. I am able. I am capable of finding solutions for all my challenges. And then be on the lookout for these opportunities that have come your way. Use the term I am to talk to yourself and say what you want to become, where the direction you're going to go. I am healthy. I am finding solutions to my poor health, if you will. I am finding friends that I have yet to meet. I am finding opportunities to increase my wealth. And then take the initiative. Don't wait. Take that step forward, and then you'll find your way. So remember, I am is a command to yourself. And as it says in the good book, and we've had our Sunday service here on the internationalschooloftheprophets.com. You can go to the link and join the Zoom meetings every Sunday at 1 p.m. And we will talk more about these opportunities and these wisdoms that are in the good book. We are illuminating the truth of Yeshua, the Savior, Jesus, the Christ. And the point is your steps in step with everybody else becomes the marching orders of a community to do good. Just as it is out there with the Satan now, the influence of difficulty and despair, we can change that, turn it around. It's like turning a light on in a dark room. It goes away. Negativity is always frightened of the truth. Remember that. Negativity is always frightened of the truth. And indeed, sometimes there are a lot of people preventing you from saying your truth. But the more important a person's truth is, can be directly related to the number of people trying to hold them back. So tonight, the Gaia theory is this. We are part of the planet. We are linked to the planet. We are plugged in. We are able and capable of changing the planet any way we want. The more people that have that similar notion to change the planet to do good versus those people who are turning the planet into a place to do warfare and promote fear, we can turn it around and promote hope. And we will win because evil is afraid of love. Evil is the absence of love. We can do this. Until next week, I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell. The show has been produced by our producer, Paul Hughes, and my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, and I. I want to thank you for allowing us to come into your homes tonight, and we look forward to seeing you right here on the Global Village Network this time next week with really important, amazing guests that we're lining up for the later summer and fall. Join us here and on our link on YouTube and elsewhere on social media. God bless you, one and all. Thank you, Doug, for being on the show tonight. God bless you, Paul, for doing a wonderful job producing this show. This is Douglas James Cottrell signing off. See you all down the path a little farther. God bless everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.